Forget the yield curve. Elkhart, Indiana says the recession is imminent.
65% of the country's RVs are made in this county in Elkhart, Indiana. It's a very good indicator of how consumers are feeling.
And Hong Kong's protesters find new momentum after the largest rally in weeks.
It really seemed to many people like a starting point to show that this movement still has a big swell of mass support.
Plus, Greenlanders are baffled by President Trump's interest. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a look at why the RV capital of America, that's Elkhart, Indiana, in case you didn't know, is predicting a recession, here's what you missed. Hundreds of thousands of people once more poured into Hong Kong streets in support of pro-democracy protests yesterday. Braving rain, clad in black, and waving umbrellas, Sunday's demonstration was largely peaceful. From Hong Kong, Natasha Khan has more.
Well, we just saw our 11th weekend of protests here in Hong Kong, and really, it was in contrast yesterday to recent weekends where we've seen more bloody, radical battles between police and protesters spread across the city. We saw the airport shuttered last Monday. So having that scene of hundreds and thousands of peaceful protesters of all ages walking through city streets, rallying in Victoria Park, it really seemed to many people like a starting point to show that this movement still has a big swell of mass support, but also that many still believe in peaceful protests to try and convince the government to start dialogue and look into making some concessions to the protesters' demands.
Natasha says that now the ball is in the government's court when it comes to the protesters' demands.
The protesters have five demands that have really sustained the movement. They include the full withdrawal of this contentious extradition bill that sparked off this whole thing. It includes an independent inquiry into police handling of the matters in the last few months, an amnesty for arrested protesters, the removal of a declaration that a protest on June 12th was a riot. And lastly, they're looking for a greater democratic reforms and universal suffrage. And so now what we're seeing is because there hasn't really been any concessions from the government since June 15th, when the government first suspended the bill, we're really looking now for signs that the government might be willing to come to the table just to start a dialogue. It's unclear if that's going to happen, but it seems that the ball is in the government's court.
Yesterday, President Trump said he thought it would be very difficult for the U.S. to reach a trade deal with China if the country responded with force to the Hong Kong protests.
No, I think it would be very hard to deal if they do violence. I mean, if it's another Tiananmen Square, I think it's a very hard thing to do if there's violence.
Separately, the president confirmed our reporting that he was, in fact, considering having the U.S. buy Greenland.
Well, Greenland, I don't know, it got released somehow. It's just something we talked about. Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up, and I said, certainly I'd be strategically, it's interesting, and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that.
We sent our reporter, Jason Douglas, to Nuuk, that's Greenland's capital, where he found that most Greenlanders were baffled by the president's interest in the island. One suggested that President Trump play golf at the Nuuk Golf Club before he considers the transaction. But they warned the club is only open for 4 months of the year. The rest of the time, it's covered in snow. Both Denmark and Greenland's governments have said the island isn't for sale. Now, our main story this morning, an unconventional recession indicator, the RV capital of America, Elkhart, Indiana. Economists and investors often view the city as a bellwether for the rest of the U.S. economy. Charlie Turner has been speaking with Shane DeRace to find out more.
Shane D., you write that Elkhart County is watched closely by economists and investors. Explain this.
Elkhart County is the home to the country's RV industry. And RVs are a luxury item. People use discretionary income to purchase them. And they tend to be the first place where consumers cut back when they start to have some anxiety about where the economy is headed. And so because 65% of the country's RVs are made in this county, in Elkhart, Indiana, and in the surrounding area, it's a very good indicator of how consumers are feeling. And for the last three recessions, there have been multi-year declines in RV shipments. And so the two tend to track. And now what we're seeing for the last 2 years is that RV shipments have been down for the second year in a row. And so that kind of turns on the warning signals that maybe a recession could be following.
Why has demand fallen for recreational vehicles? What have manufacturers told you?
They don't really know yet. It's a little unclear. The stock market is one theory. A lot of people who buy RVs tend to be retirees, and so they're very reliant on the stock market. They're using savings to buy RVs, so they could be a little bit sensitive to that. Could be just overall economic anxiety, a potential trade war with China. All these things are sort of weighing on consumers' minds. And when you're thinking about something that you don't only use discretionary income, but it is a very quickly depreciating asset. So as soon as that RV drives off the lot, it starts to go down in value. And what happened in 2008, the last recession, is that a lot of people who bought RVs sort of at the height of the bubble, they were left with this really pretty worthless asset. And, you know, RV owners are sort of a group that watches each other, and people took notice, and people don't want that to happen to them again. So there could be caution on that end. All we know is that dealers are having a harder time closing those sales. And, you know, the dealers that I spoke to, they did not feel like things were going to change anytime soon.
You briefly mentioned Chinese trade tensions. What about the impact of tariffs on Chinese products that go into RVs?
The RV Industry Association estimates that over 500 items that go into RVs are going to be hit by tariffs or are already hit by tariffs. And it depends on who you speak to. Some manufacturers in Elkhart say that they've been able to absorb the cost and that they're not passing it on to consumers, or if they are, it's minimal. But other companies are saying that they have very much had to raise their prices. I spoke with one retailer down in Houston, Texas. They're a very small RV manufacturer, and so they have no ability to really alter their supply chain. They get all their stuff from Elkhart. Elkhart's bringing stuff in from China, and so they've had to raise their prices. They said their prices are now something like 30% higher than they were a few years ago, and, you know, consumers take notice, and they just don't want to spend that kind of money, or they don't really understand why it is that the price is so much higher. So it's definitely impacting the industry because it's trickling down to the consumer. The extent to which it's doing that is unclear.
You can find Shandy's full story up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Here's something you might have noticed if you went to book a trip abroad this summer. The dollar is on a tear. An index that tracks the dollar against a basket of six major currencies stands near its highest level in more than 2 years. A strong dollar might be good if you're looking to travel, but it's pressuring other areas of the economy like corporate earnings and commodities. Mike Bird has more.
So the US dollar's been performing pretty well this year, and that's in large part down to the fact that the US economy is just still outperforming the rest of the world. Even with worries about it slowing down, it's just still doing considerably better than most other countries in the world. Most other regions have much more to worry about, especially from slowing trade. Now, the effects that the stronger dollar has, it does make US exports to the rest of the world somewhat less attractive. Basically, when, you know, a foreign buyer looks at a good priced in US dollars, when the dollar's gone up 10%, 11%, it's effectively the price of all those goods for those buyers has gone up 10 or 11%. It's also knocking the earnings of big US listed companies with large operations overseas, because the money they make overseas isn't worth as much as the share price, the dollars that they're denominated in. Their shareholders don't get as much money back from that.
And now the SCED. Here's what else we're paying attention to today. Two Russian monitoring stations designed to detect nuclear radiation went silent soon after the explosion at a missile test site this month. That spurred concerns among observers that the Russian government is trying to restrict evidence of the accident. Russian officials responded that the stations were, quote, experiencing communication and network issues. And here's something a bit unorthodox. The Japanese conglomerate SoftBank plans to lend up to $20 billion to its employees to buy stakes in its second giant venture capital fund. That's according to people familiar with the matter. We write, it's an unusual setup that would doubly expose SoftBank to a startup economy that's starting to show cracks. Finally, Cape Cod's residents and summer visitors are getting used to a new normal. Sharks are everywhere. Until last year, great whites hadn't killed someone off the Massachusetts coast since 1936. But a federal law passed in 1972 that bolstered a state halt on hunting seals has meant that the seal population has flourished, as have their predators. Researchers have spotted at least 300 great white sharks this summer alone. John Camp has more on what the impact's been from those sightings.
The impact comes in a couple of different ways, but I think what you really have to focus on is the people who are really connected to the water. You know, not everybody goes to Cape Cod to go in the ocean, but for the people who do, it's enormously important to them. You have people who go out there and swim every day. For them, it was just total freedom. It was relaxation. It was free therapy. They never had any fear. And so imagine going from that to suddenly having to worry about being in the domain of these SUV-sized predators. And I think that is what people on Cape Cod are really coming to grips with right now, is that you've taken this paradise, really, and you've injected fear and trepidation into it.
Before you go, we should mention researchers do emphasize that shark attacks on humans are rare. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.